Good morning. It's an honor to be here. I was looking forward to this. I appreciate Brother Don calling me, and it's wonderful to see you. Last time I was here, I told you it had been almost 20 years since I've been here. I'm glad to say it's almost been 1 year, so we're doing better. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 28. I'd like to have a word of prayer before we begin. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this morning, sinners. We are weak and helpless sinners, Lord. And we have come begging for food. And Lord, we know that if you don't give us our daily bread, there is no bread to have. So Lord, we pray, we ask, if it be thy will, would you please bless us this morning? Lord, would you send your spirit into this place? And would you bless your word? And would you prepare us right now to enter into the glory of your dear Son, our Savior? Lord, would you allow us to see him and delight in him this morning? And Lord, would you comfort our hearts? And would you speak to us and let us hear your voice and let us feel your touch through this word? Lord, would you have mercy on us and help us, Lord. Please prepare us. Take our minds out of this crazy world that we live in. And would you let us for just a few minutes enter into your kingdom, enter into your presence. Let us sit at your feet and learn from you. Lord, we pray for Brother Don this morning. We pray for every man who is standing with your message. Lord, would you help that man? And bless that man and bless every brother and sister who is sitting right now. Lord, would you please help us and speak to us and be merciful to us, Lord, and forgive us of our sin. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. When Brother Lindsay started just a few minutes ago, I thought the first thing that went through my mind was we could have exchanged notebooks. And then it hit me, we really do have one message, don't we? I mean, we really do have one message. I thought, I'm so thankful for that. Aren't you so glad that we have one message? One message feeds our soul. I don't believe I have anything new this morning. I believe I have something that blessed my heart in the study, but there's nothing new to be told, is there? While our Lord walked this earth, the New Testament was being written. Right? They had the Old Testament. And the New Testament was being written. He was saying things, and those men were going and writing that down. And the disciples then, they did not understand the things that we understand now, because we have the New Testament Scriptures. Our Lord told His disciples over and over in John. Those chapters are one evening. And in that one evening, He told them over and over, I'm going to be lifted up. I'm going into that grave. Where I'm going, you cannot come. And their response was, what is He saying? We can't understand what He's saying. And then all of a sudden, John 18 takes place. And they watch that mob, they watch their Lord become taken. And he's brought before a judge. He's put on trial. Now, this is God, their Lord. The Lord they have come to know and believe. Can you imagine this from their point of view? Not knowing what we know now. Not understanding what we have been given faith to believe now. And so there he goes, and they're standing there, and he goes with them. And he stands before that judge, and they hear his conviction. And then they see how he is beaten and tortured in the back room. They bring him out. And then they watch those soldiers strip him and humiliate him. And then they nailed him to a piece of wood. And they're watching all this take place. And then they heard these words come out of the Lord's own mouth. They heard their Lord say, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" God forsook him? And then the one that all their trust was in and all their hope was in bows his head and he gives up the ghost. And then they pull the nails out of his hands and out of his feet. And they took his dead body off of that cross. And then a man from Arimathea came and took his body and put it in a tomb. And they put a rock in front of it. That happened on a Friday. And his disciples went home and they were so shocked. Can you imagine? Shocked, sad, heartbroken, distraught, lost. Absolutely lost. And they said, "We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." Well, they all stayed home on Saturday, the next day. Saturday was their Sabbath. And they were commanded to rest on the Sabbath, so they stayed home. Not realizing that their Sabbath was laying inside that tomb. Also on that Saturday, Pilate decided to station guards around that tomb. And he told them, "You make it as sure as you can." So they sealed the stone. Could it get any worse? Could it get any worse? No hope and without God in the world. The song says, "As poor, wretched sinners, no God and no hope, it seemed there was no one to help." Psalm 107 says, "Their soul is melted because of trouble." But watch what happens on Sunday morning, the third day. Matthew 28, verse 1 says, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. His countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and become as dead men." They passed out. "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that you seek heaven." like everybody else in religion. That's not what he said. He said, I know that you seek mansions and golden streets. He said, I know that you have come here seeking relief from your pain and suffering. He said, I know. Now here's this angel with a countenance of lightning in white garments. And these two women come up and he said, I know. I know that you seek Jesus, which was crucified. I know you do. I know that you came for Him. You didn't come to be seen by anybody. You didn't come out of religious duty. You didn't come because you thought it would get you to heaven. You came for Him. I know you seek Jesus, which was crucified. I know you want Him. I know you need Him. And because of that, the angel said, I have a message of good news for you. The beginning of verse 6 says, He is not here. He's not here. That's the gospel. He's not here. He's not here. For He is risen, as He said. Could they ever have dreamed of hearing better news than that? Now, do you think they loved their Lord? Oh, man. How do we feel when we lose our loved ones? But this was God. And they come to the place where they laid Him and heard the most glorious gospel they've ever heard in their life. He is not here. He's alive. He is risen as He said. Now He was there. They knew that He was there. Those women who came, they knew that He was there. Let me show you something in Luke 23. Go with me over to Luke 23. Luke 23, look at verse 55. And the women also which came with Him from Galilee followed after and beheld the sepulchre and how His body was laid. They watched His body go into that tomb. And they saw how His body was laid in that tomb. They knew exactly where He was. Verse 56, and they returned and prepared spices and ointments and rested the Sabbath day according to the commandment. They knew the truth. They knew He was here. I know He was here. I saw Him go in. Thank God He was there. Thank God He was there. Had He never been there, there would be no gospel to tell. You know that? No gospel at all. There would be no good news for sinners against God had He not been there. He had to be there, or my sin debt would have never been paid. He was there. But He's not anymore. Not anymore, for He is risen. He's alive. He is the living God. You know what that means? It means judgment has been met. It means the law satisfied. And it means mercy has been born. It means they're all taken away, away. That's what it means. When they came and heard, He's not here. My sins are all taken away. It means righteousness and peace kissed each other. That's what it means. He is not here. For He is risen, as He said. Everything happens as He said. Every single thing. He cannot lie. He can't. Every promise that He has made concerning you and me must come to pass. Every single one. He cannot lie. He is going to raise up His chosen people. He's going to. We are going to inherit Him. We're going to get Him. He said, because I live, you live also. Here is our gospel. He is not here. For He is risen, as He said. That's our gospel. It's good news of a finished work from a sovereign God. He's not here. He is risen, as He said. Now, that's our gospel. Let's take just a minute to enter into our gospel. Just a minute. Let's enter into our gospel. Let's enter into what Christ did for us. For just a minute, let's smell the savor of it. We now know what happened. Let's smell the savor of it. Let's feel the joy of it. Let's see the beauty of it. Here is the title of this message. And this is all I want us to do for the rest of the message. The end of verse 6 in Matthew 28. If you'll look back at Matthew 28. The end of verse 6 says, come see the place where the Lord lay. Come see where the Lord lay. I want us to, just for a few minutes, with these eyes of faith that the Lord has given us, I want us to see the place where the Lord lay. It's a precious place. It's a glorious and a precious place. We're going to turn to a few scriptures. First, I want us to see where the Lord lay. Go with me to John 19. John 19, verse 41 says, now in the place where He was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulcher, wherein was never man yet laid. This place was inside a beautiful garden. That's where His tomb was located. Inside a beautiful garden. You know, this whole thing started in a garden, didn't it? The whole thing started in a garden. God made man in a garden. And God breathed life, and man became a living soul in a garden. And then man sinned against his holy God in a garden. His good and His kind and His loving God. Man sinned in the same garden that God breathed life to him in. The Garden of Eden. Man died in a garden. So God came down and He went to a garden. The Garden of Gethsemane. And He kneeled down in that garden and He said, Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And it was not possible. And he sweat great drops of blood in that garden as the sin of his people was pressed into him. And then he took that sin over to the cross of Calvary. And right there at Calvary was a garden. And he laid in that garden for 3 days. 3 days separated from God to end the sin that man started in the garden. Man died in the garden, so God died in the garden. Life was given to man in the garden, so new life, eternal life, was given in a garden. A beautiful, life-giving garden. You know that our life is because of that place? That place where he was separated from God, endured the punishment and the judgment. And thank God for that garden. John 19, verse 41 says, "Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid." No man had ever laid in this sepulchre. Our Lord went to a place and he accomplished a work that no man before him could ever accomplish. Man has tried, every man who leaves this world in his own mind without God thinks he is going to accomplish this work. And he never does. He never does. All he can do is leave his stench. That's all he can do. Leave his rotten, defiled stench on the place. But there was no stench there. They made these sepulchres big enough. It says they went into it. They made them big enough to get about six bodies in there. Well, they don't all die at the same time. Can you imagine going into that place and bringing somebody? Oh, the stench in that place. There was no stench in this place. Not at all. No man had ever laid there. It was a beautiful place. There was no stench in that place at all. Look at Luke 24 with me. Luke 24, verse 1 says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments." Angels were inside that place. God sent angels inside that place. And they were shining. Light was inside that place. Now, he went in darkness. But light and life sprang forth from this place. They went in and it was as bright as the high sun. They took our Lord's body and they laid it in this place. Now I want to show you something about his body. Go with me to Psalm 16. Psalm 16, this is our Lord speaking of those 3 days in that place. The place where the Lord lay. Psalm 16, verse 10 says, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. His body never saw one drop of corruption, decay. Not one drop. In Gethsemane, that sin was pressed into him. It was pressed into him. And all of sin's effects. You know why we have cancer? Sin. And it produces effects. And you know why we have wrinkles and why we have spots and why we decay. Our teeth decay. Everything decays because of sin. And sin was pressed into him. And all of its effects. And on that cross at Calvary, his visage was more marred than any man. They had to put a sign above him telling people who he was. They looked at him and thought, is that a man? This is Jesus, King of the Jews. I've never seen a man marred like that before. He was forsaken by God. Wounded, bruised, beaten, stricken, smitten, afflicted. But in that place where the Lord lay, inside that place, let me show you what happened. Go with me over to Job 33. Job 33, look at verse 21. His flesh is consumed away that it cannot be seen, and his bones that were not seen stick out. Yea, his soul draweth near unto the grave, and his life to the destroyers. If there be a messenger with him, an interpreter, one among a thousand to show unto man his uprightness, then he is gracious unto him and saith, deliver him from going down to the pit. I have found a ransom. Now watch verse 25. His flesh shall be fresher than a child's. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. He looketh upon men, and if any say, I have sinned and perverted that which was right, and it profited me not, he will deliver his soul from going into the pit, and his life shall see the light. Lo, all these things worketh God oftentimes with man to bring back his soul from the pit, to be enlightened with the light of the living. This place where the Lord lay was a beautiful place that magnified the light and the life of God. And inside this place laid the body of the incorruptible Holy One. And his flesh was fresher than a child's. This is the death of every believer. That's the death of every believer. As soon as we leave this earth, and our Lord, you know, he kept saying, they're just sleeping. He's not dead. He that lives and believes in me will never die. But as soon as what we call death happens, the wrinkles go away, the spots go away. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're changed. What do we look like? Him. Fresher than child's. That's the death of every believer. It's not a fearful thing. We are more dead now than we're going to be then. It's a life-giving and beautiful thing. And if that's not enough, let's see what else was in that tomb. Go with me to Mark 15. Mark 15, look at verse 46 with me. And he brought fine linen and took him down and wrapped him in the linen and laid him in a sepulcher which was hewn out of a rock and rolled a stone unto the door of the sepulcher. The body of our Lord was wrapped in fine, beautiful, rich linen. He made his grave with the rich. Rich linen, the clothing of kings and priests. It was glorious. Those were his grave clothes. Honor and glory and majesty was in that place. When you go into that place, you say, this is the place of a king. This is the place of a high priest. Go back with me to John 19 one more time. The end of verse 38, John 19, the end of verse 38 says, he came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes, with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Inside that beautiful royal linen was 100 pounds of sweet-smelling myrrh and spices. I Googled myrrh, and they said it smells so sweet. It is sweet-smelling. It's so sweet. They brought that to the Lord when he entered this world, and they said, where is he that's born king? We're bringing him myrrh. No, he died king. And it was so sweet smelling, the smell of that 100 pounds of myrrh and spices. It was so sweet smelling. It poured out of that place. It was so beautiful, with no corruption, with a fragrance that was so sweet smelling, even God himself was satisfied. I am satisfied. This is a glorious place. Look right here at chapter 20, John 20, verse 6. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulcher, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Peter went into this sepulcher. And there were those linen clothes, still there. He saw the grave clothes, still there. Why did the Lord leave the grave clothes there? They're not needed anymore. Finished. We're finished with these. That napkin that was about his head, it was wrapped up. And the linen that was around his body, it was wrapped up. Christ is our head. We are his body. And the grave clothes of the head and the grave clothes of the body were left in the same tomb. Never to be needed again. Oh, it was a beautiful place. Sweet smelling place. A place of life. No corruption. Glory and honor and majesty. Now look at verse 11 in John 20. But Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? And I believe he said it a little differently than he said, Whom seek ye? From our Bible study. Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. Oh, she turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Near the cross, a trembling soul, love and mercy found me. Verse 17, Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins you retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life. Through his name. All right, Brother Lindsay, you come.